Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. School's almost out. I mean, that's a blessing. When you've got three grandchildren in school, it's you're busy every moment.
Yeah.
And between them and the clients, it's a pretty busy day, pretty full.
I tell you, it didn't hit me until you just said that. School's almost out. I'm like, what? No, it's not. It's like March. And no, it's not. It's the middle of April. What
It's
happened?
middle of April and school's out in May.
Oh, my
So
word.
you've been asleep again. You better
Apparently.
wake up.
Wow. This year is just flying by already. I don't know. It's
I'm already thinking about camp. A
Oh.
week here, a week there,
Oh, have you started exploring? Because I remember last year, I think you were talking about the prices that they had gone up to as you were looking
They
around.
had.
It's shocking.
It is shocking. The best deal we did was 2 years ago, the camps out in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and it was
Yes.
great. And it was they roughed it pretty hard. I mean, they had, wood cabins. They had tents in one location, and when they camped out, they were just in little tents. So it was good for them to explore, real life,
Yeah, connect with nature. Get outside a little bit.
That's right. All these kids nowadays are on either their iPads or their phones. And everybody's saying it's very, very bad.
Yeah. I've even seen people literally go for a walk, and when they say go for a walk, they mean like on their game on TV. It's like not even go
That is so
outside.
bad.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's not good at
Well, and
all.
with us having the llamas, sometimes the kids have to help with that. So that's good for them. Then we had the trees that fell down. We made them get down there, help pick up branches. Don't just go in the house and sit down.
Yeah, no. Get outside, do things, move your body. Get active and not just watch your life go by on a screen.
And the funny thing is, they loved it. They
Yeah.
loved it. And the little one, he has all this equipment. And he can cut branches with it. He has a little saw. And he loves it. He'll stay out and do some work. The other one, not so much.
The other one is more
Yes, he's, I would say lazy comes to mind.
indoorsy. Oh, I was trying to be polite.
I know, but I wasn't.
You just
I'm
can tell
telling
him
you
like it
what it's
is.
like. Yeah.
Wow. I remember it didn't used to be a big thing, when we were kids, that's all we had was outside. We couldn't wait to get outside. And I mean, sometimes we'd sit and watch TV a little bit, but for the most part, outside is where we were. If we could stay 24/7, we would. And now,
And your IQs were a little higher too, weren't they?
yeah, we learn how to do stuff, how to, just everyday things, build fire if we had to, like go camping, you could change a tire, you could change your oil, you could do things. And now people are just like behind the screen, what do I do? Let me just Google
That's right. They Google everything. You ask them how to do anything,
Oh.
they'll say, "Well, I'll have to Google that. I don't know."
Oh yeah. Have the kids come back from school saying anything like, I don't have to learn that, I'll just Google it. Have they
No,
done
they haven't
that?
said that to me. That would not sit well.
Yeah, I've heard people say that before. Like, for real. It's
And they've been
disturbing.
taking all these star tests. And the little one informed me today that it doesn't count against your grade. And I go, "Oh, really?"
Yeah.
No, he said, "It won't affect my grades." So I guess he was saying it doesn't matter what the score is, it's going to be all right.
I hope so. Woo.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been taught that. I thought that they're going to start this, was graded and everything, but they
Yeah.
said no. They said no.
Yeah. I always thought it held a lot of weight. Not only was it just graded, but I mean, it was pretty important. It made a big impact either way.
I thought it did too. But he informed me that it'll be okay, whatever the grade is, because it wasn't going to count against his grades. Now, I hope he knows what he's talking about.
Well, I hope so too. If not, I have a feeling somebody might be in for a surprise.
That's right. They might be in some serious trouble that we don't even want to talk about.
Yeah, that'll be dealt with later.
That's right. When we get that final score, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh. Yeah, I cannot believe that we're almost out of school.
It yeah, I love summer, as you know.
Yeah.
Because it changes everything. You know, I like to see people packing up, getting ready to go on vacation, all these things. And the little kids are excited, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all over too quickly. So it's a good thing that all the families take their little kids and go somewhere.
Yeah. Even if we talk about, like, vacation is nice, go away for a week or two. But even if, like, a long weekend or, some day trips, because we have so many things to do that are within driving distance. And we're all used to driving everywhere.
There's so many things. A person does not have to leave Texas.
No.
You really go to each area. And, I'm going to do a story one of these days on how many lakes we have. We have a tremendous amount of lakes.
Yes.
And it's just like everything else. The parks. We have so many parks. And that new one that's opening down in the middle of Texas is thousands of acres. That was given to the state.
Yes. And
I'd say it's very valuable. I forget how many million it's worth. It's worth several million. And they're getting the roads fixed, the cabins. I mean, everything you need to go and stay there and enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we have so many different climates and so many different types of environment all within. It's like, it's almost like we've got anything you could ever want, whether it's, type of environment. We have, greenery, we have desert, we have lakes, we have, water, we have coast, we have all kinds of things. We have all kinds of food, we have all kinds of art, we have all kinds of history, we have all kinds of, there's just so many different things without leaving the state that you could literally take a whole summer vacation and not even come close to seeing everything that the state offers. You don't even have to go.
You couldn't do it. It would take a long time to see all the great things we have. We've got the mountains. We've got East Texas. We've got Caddo Lake. We've got something all over the state. We've got the coast. We've got South Texas. And a lot of our things where they've made movies, you can go and see all those the cabins, the town they set up. A lot of great things to look at.
Yeah. I bet, and I know I've said this before, but if we were to compile some kind of a book of all the destinations you've covered in trivia over the years, I think, seriously, it would be how to see Texas not like a tourist. Enjoy
That's
the
right.
real parts of Texas. It'd be great.
And only a Texan would know all the appropriate things.
Yeah. I mean, you can go do the touristy things. Sure, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But, it's just like the stuff that you always talk about is always the stuff that the locals know. The stuff that isn't in, like, the tour books or, things like that. And that's really where the exciting stuff happens.
That's right. And, all these little towns still have the old ice cream places.
Oh.
They have the old-fashioned hamburgers, the old-fashioned steaks. And when you go there, it's like you've stepped in another world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not the same.
It's not.
And it's not city-fied, as I call it.
Yes.
It's straight out of the West, I'm telling you.
Yeah. It is authentic. Yeah.
It is authentic. Ugh. And most everything in Texas really is.
Yeah.
But a lot of these little towns have never changed.
Mm-mm. And that's the beauty of it.
It is. And they still, you park on Main Street, you parallel park, and you walk up and go right in the stores. And it's just, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I love their dime stores. Mm. Oh, my gosh. To get to go in one of those. And they have the old wood floors,
yeah.
The wood counters. I mean, it's fabulous.
Yeah. You just have those feelings of, hey, this used to be a general store, several, many, many years ago, when they would maybe even drive up and or ride up on a horse or something like that. It's just, you could just tell that there's history there. And it's just, it's really cool because we preserved so much of it, which is great. many places tear things down and they don't really care about the historical aspect. You know, we're going to put up a high rise here, all glass, and it's going to be wonderful.
if you notice lately, there was a hotel, I thought it was in Las Vegas, and they just slammed it down. It was like, I think, 15, 17 stories.
What?
They just got rid of it.
Really? Another one?
Yeah, I saw it this week. That, and there was something else they tore down. Now I'm going, how can this be?
Yeah. It seems like it's almost like we're to a point where now it seems like even buildings we see that went up, we remember when like hotels and casinos were built in Vegas, and now we're seeing them torn down. It's like, wait, it's not like this is like 100 years old. It's like, I remember when that was built and now I'm seeing it being demolished. I don't know what's happening.
That's right.
Yeah, it's weird.
And there is a resort down in South Texas that they were trying to foreclose on this week, and the people filed bankruptcy.
For real?
And they owed $24 million on it or something.
Whoa,
yeah.
Really?
And they've been paying on it since 2019. And they just said, you know, business is not good enough to make the payments.
Wow.
But they didn't want to lose it either. They'd paid a lot of money over the years in it.
Boy, oh boy, there's some days, not all the time, but there's some days that it feels like there are more buildings that are closing, stores that are closing, institutions that are shutting down. It feels like there's more of those sometimes than they are opening. And it's kind of sad.
Well, it depends. You know, like 7-Eleven, years ago, you know, the Japanese bought them out. And they announced they're going to close, like, I don't want a story. I think they said 200 stores.
Really?
Then they're going to turn around and open some new ones. So I guess there's some that are in bad locations now after all these years. So they're going to get rid of those.
Oh, so they're just relocating, not necessarily scaling back.
But I don't know. They said they were building new ones, but you know, I don't know that to be a fact.
Jeez, that's kind of scary.
I think it's because people from other countries who buy our things don't understand our culture.
Mm, that could be.
I mean, well, you know, 7-Eleven has always been in and out, get your gas, and get your donuts, and go.
Yeah.
And maybe they haven't comprehended that yet.
I don't know. I never thought I'd see a day where 7-Elevens were closing.
I never saw. Even Walmart is getting rid of the deadwood. And they're going to open some new ones.
Really?
I think the old is leaving. Yeah, I think they've got some old stores, and they want to get rid of those.
I'm starting to wonder if there's going to be any stores left to go to, or if we're moving closer to a place where we just go shop online and we don't actually go into a store anymore. I wonder if that's real.
Hey, and McDonald's will no longer take cash.
What?
Yeah, that was this week, too. That was a shocker. I mean, what if you just come from the bank? You better not be using cash, because they won't take it.
Wow.
They announced that this week. They will no longer take cash.
I did not. I missed that one. I didn't hear that.
And there was another company that said the same thing. And I think it's that people are stealing, and this is the only way to put a stop to it.
Oh.
I mean, why else would you quit taking cash?
Boy, I didn't think about, you know, the theft part. See, my brain just doesn't go towards criminality.
There you go. Because years ago they said cash only.
Yeah.
Now they say no cash.
Wow.
Yeah, they do not want you to come. And, like, I'm always paying cash at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, I always hand them a 10 and get my change back.
Yeah, I guess the first thing that crosses my mind when you said that, I thought, okay, well, maybe we're just going towards, you know, this is the way of the future. You know, we're no longer going to have pennies, and maybe we're just, you know, moving to electronic currency, and that's just the next step. But boy, I don't know if McDonald's is doing it. I wonder who's next and how far that trend
I bet there's a lot of drive-in type deals are going to do it. That's what I'm thinking.
Things
well,
are
I better
changing.
Get off this subject.
Yeah.
And let's get on money and making money and talking about money.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what are the highlights from this week? What are we
okay.
looking at?
We've got four policies. Three of them are going to be paid out this month. We've got Vita Lipsy, Alan Neely, David Butler, and then next month we should have the Novak policy in. So that's four maturities that are happening this month and one for next month. So that's a good thing. Everybody's getting paid.
Wow, that's a chunk of cash.
It is. It's a bunch of cash coming in. And this one, the next 2 weeks, those three will be paid out. But we don't have the death certificate yet on Novak. That's all we're waiting on. And
right.
So it'll probably be after the first. And Novak's a big one.
I'm trying to remember. How much is the Novak?
I believe it's $2 million.
Oh, my word. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so it is a big one.
Yes, it is.
Now, and I hate to take you off guard here, but it's not coming from New Jersey by any chance, is it?
I think it is.
Oh, no.
I think it is. Oh, my gosh. That's why we don't have it yet, I think. The others, we got them real quick, as you know.
Of course.
We've been getting them real quick lately. But if it goes to New Jersey, it's just going to take longer because they don't want to do it. I don't know why. And you know, they get paid. We have to pay them a fee to get those death certificates.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to care.
They really don't.
No. They're not for us, let me tell you.
Yeah. And it's not just a one-time thing. I was hesitant to bring that up because I know how you are and I know how they are.
That's right. And
that
it just
explains it.
We don't haul and Jen and haul very good together.
No.
I mean, they think a lot different. Their thought is, why did I come to work today? Do I have to send this out? Or can I wait a month and then send it to you?
I'll get to it some other time.
That's right. When I feel more like doing it.
Yeah. Whoo, my word. All right. Well, I'm sure it's not going to take too terribly long. I know that you had luck getting them from New Jersey in the past, so I know you'll get that taken care of.
We're going to get it done. It may take a little time, but I'm hoping to put that thing to bed as quick as possible. And maybe we'll have more maturities in the meantime.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's anything's possible. I mean, that's how it works. You know, hopefully when we get maturities, turn around, reinvest, and put them in new policies. And that's how it's supposed to work. I guess it's the normal ebbs and flows, I guess, as you could say, how the whole life settlement thing works. It's just...
Well, and you know, somebody called me this week, and they didn't realize that those RMDs after 73 and a half have got to be done. And if you don't have cash in your account, if you're fully invested, you can do an exchange. And these people are all in like IRAs. So you have to create another account and pay it out of that account, which is just a bookkeeping account. You didn't have any cash, so they're going to credit you with your RMD, okay? Somebody called me this week and said, Faye, there's $17,000 missing out of my account. I said, well, let me check. I said, Nevada Trust will tell me. And they said, he had to do 2 years of RMDs. So it was $5,000-something each time. So people need to remember that. If you don't have cash, we can do a swap, which the government allows. And it looks like cash, and it's counted as cash, but it wasn't really cash.
Huh.
But like... If you let's say you had $100,000 and you owed $5,000, then it will show that your account is withdrawn $5,000, but it was put in the other account. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess I didn't realize there was like a what did you call it, like a bookkeeping type of
yes.
account. I didn't realize that.
That's all it is. And over the years, we've done that for a lot of people when you know, they were fully invested, had no cash, and they said, what do I do? I said, we'll fix it. And the government has this form, and you show a transfer to the other account, and it shows you paid, and it's the same as cash.
Okay.
So it works, yeah.
All right. Well, good. Well, there's ways around things then. You can.
That's right. The IRS has a few things that do help when you're fully invested.
Most of the time, the IRS is not very helpful.
That's right. Don't ever try to call them on the phone.
Oh,
my
no.
gosh. You would spend the rest of your life trying to do that.
Oh, yeah. Boy, you think it's bad calling customer service at a store. Wow. Wait till you call the IRS. Woo.
I mean, I've given up on customer service.
Yeah.
There is none. That's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, with this past week being tax day, what was it, on Wednesday, I think it was?
Yes, it was on Wednesday the 15th.
I'm sure a lot of people waited till the last minute and had several headaches with the IRS. So that's probably a dirty word right now.
Well, and people I know took too much out of their IRAs.
Ooh.
And if you take too big a draw, you're going to have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't counting on that extra taxation because they'd taken too much.
What do you say, like 2 to 3%?
Yeah, it's 3.078 or something like that. And these people took 10%. You can't do that unless you're ready to pay up.
Yeah, and they charge heavily for that too. It's not a light. It's not like a little fee.
That's exactly right. And let's say you forget to do your RMD. It's a 50% penalty.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Ooh, wow.
So you don't want to do that.
Man.
You know, you've got to have that thing in. Sometime in January is the deadline. Maybe it's the 1st of January. I don't remember. But everybody I know pays theirs in December.
Well, I did not know it was 50%.
Yep, that's what I've been told.
Ooh, man. That makes
But the best way to do it is do something that you're not going to go over on taxes, that you don't pay taxes till you take it out. Now, that's annuities. You don't pay any taxes till you take it out every year. Now, life settlements are a little different. You're going to do a life settlement, you do it in your IRA, and it'll be the same way. If you do it in regular, you will have to pay taxes. But if you do it in your IRA, you know, you don't have to pay tax on an IRA till you take it out.
Yeah, you're essentially just, is it okay to say you're just kind of like rolling it over, moving things around and not facing
the
tax?
Well, yeah, and if you don't have to do anything till 73 and a half.
Mm.
So anyway, everybody that does life settlements, they're investing in a life policy on someone that has terminal cancer. We've gotten better. Our life expectancies are better. They're truer than they were. So we've improved over the years. I think the last 4 years, it's a lot better than we was.
Oh, yeah.
Than we were, excuse me.
Yeah. I mean, the data is better. The science is better. The information is better. And you've been doing this longer. And so, you know, when you're looking at these, you know what you're looking at. And so, you know, sometimes people will try, and I know you've told stories about this before, but sometimes, you know, they'll say, okay, we've got a policy up for bids. Take a look and see, and then you'll look at it and you'll spot something that's, I don't know, maybe down further or the small print or something. You'll spot some little thing in there, and it's just like, you tried to slip something by me, and we caught it, and you reject those immediately. And so looking for those little things and the tricks that they try to play, to sneak those in, you've gotten better at those as well. So, you know.
And I looked at one this week. The premium was over 2%, and we don't do that anymore. It's got to be less than 2%, or we're not even going to entertain the idea.
Yeah.
So when we look at a policy, first of all, how long have you had the cancer? Have you had it since 2020? Then forget that. We're not even going near it. If you've had it and it came back, we're interested. But if you had it steady all that time, we're not interested. But when we look at it, we look at your age. We look at how significant the cancer is. Where is it? Is it in your lungs, in your liver? If it's spread that far apart, we're very interested. If it's pancreatic cancer, we're always interested. That you don't live long with that.
Yeah,
So
that's.
all the different types, there's something about them. And lots of times, somebody will have a melanoma. Some melanomas are very deadly, and some aren't. So you have to really look at those. But colon cancer, stomach cancer, uterus cancer, those are the deadly ones. Those are the ones you're not usually going to ever come back from.
Didn't you even see some tongue for a while? It seems like there was a
You
few
know,
going
we
around.
did several tongue deals, and they died pretty quick.
Really?
And we did some throat cancer. Throat cancer is very deadly. It seems like they can't get to it if it's in the throat.
I mean, even so, I mean, even those types of things weren't maybe quite as, I don't want to say popular, but widespread, maybe until maybe recently. And so now you've got the information about those as well. And so that's kind of what we're talking about when the data gets better and better over the years. And it just seems like the policies that you had when you first started doing life settlements and the policies you have now, very, very different. It's a totally different experience because of
And
all these
yeah,
things.
and we have a few old policies hanging on that we're trying to get rid of desperately.
Well,
And I hope that we outlive the guys, what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we don't go first. I mean, that'd be a bad scene.
Well, we talk all the time about how sometimes you don't go for the old policies anymore because they're going to outlive all of us
That's what I'm
combined.
afraid of. You know, we don't want old people, and
No.
I shouldn't say that, but we do have Mr. Denton that we cannot forget. It's a reminder in life. You don't ever let somebody like that, and especially if they're really, really wealthy, even though you would think if you're 92, nobody's going to do anything. And as you know, a year ago, they gave him a heart valve.
They did.
I mean, it's just so tragic.
Yeah, and he
Very
was,
tragic.
I'd say, probably a good solid decade past when they would normally allow for something like that to happen. But he had enough, and he got him to do it. So, whew, nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw it coming. And then we've got all these policies that this year have matured, that they were on time and some of them early. So, you know, I love that when they come in early.
Yeah. It's like, you look at the averages, and I don't know what, I mean, I don't have any actual numbers. I don't know if you do or not, but I know there's people that were saying the early policies tended to, I guess, sometimes maybe go over a little bit. I would
They did go
almost
over a lot,
a
yes.
lot. Okay, we'll go with a lot.
Not a lot of them, but I mean, the ones that did went over a lot,
When they
yes.
did, it was intense. So it seems like those have almost pretty much gone away. I mean, they maybe go over, a couple of months here or there, but nothing at all like what they used to. And I know that there's some investors that started really, really early when the whole thing just really started and they got in early and some of the policies went over. And yeah, and I would understand, okay, sure. Yeah, you may be a little bit hesitant. But it just seems like those that have, stayed the course and stayed, consistent and stayed fully invested and well diversified, and the ones that have been in the most policies consistently all the years, even though some may go over, some may come on time, and then some may come in early, it just seems like their money has been just growing exponentially, and they haven't really suffered any kind of downturn, or you don't have to worry about markets crashing, or any other things that could possibly, I guess, destroy another type of investment. You don't do that with life settlements because it's its own thing. It's not affected by anything, and so it seems like the numbers are there over the last many, many years.
And I like it because we have a trustee.
Yeah.
Because I see all these companies that get in trouble, they don't have a trustee. And they should, because we're investing other people's money. So you should always have a trustee at a bank.
Yeah.
And that's what we started that 16 years ago. And we've never varied it. Nevada Trust takes care of the clients, they take care of us. Now, somebody said this week, They couldn't get them on the phone. It's tax season. They're sending out notices to everybody that has taxable accounts, you know? So they're very, very busy this week.
Yeah.
And that's why you probably can't get them on the phone.
Normally, though, I mean, yeah, this week was kind of
usually,
busy, but usually...
They'll usually call you right back. And I usually send them a little email, and then that way they can respond quickly to the point, and they don't have to talk to me. But if it's urgent, I'll call.
Yeah. Yeah, but they are very responsive. And I like the fact that you get a personal touch. It's not just some automatic response from some email robot someplace. It's an actual
person. No, it's
person.
Not. It's a real person.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a world where there's so many automated robots all over the place. When you have an actual person that will actually pick up the phone and talk to you, I guess it stands out and it's reassuring, especially when we're talking about people's retirement. This is not something, you know, people are trying to get away from, you know, the uncertainties of, you know, other types of investments that can have the bottom fall out overnight. We're trying to get into things that are more conservative, things that can make us, you know, sleep well at night, calm our nerves, make sure that we're actually going to have something for retirement and then even past. And so having to not worry about if there's an actual person there, you can rest assured that they're real people. They have real eyes. They really look at policies, numbers, data. If anybody wants to transfer something or if they get a request to move something, they pick up the phone and call and verify in person, which is really rare and cool.
It's old fashioned, but I love it.
Old fashioned. That's a good way to put it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everything is so modern nowadays. You know, they have a robot, as you know, last week. I mean, when I'm talking to a robot, it's serious.
Yeah. And you didn't even know.
Yeah. I didn't even know it, you know, until they said, what did they say? I'm your virtual assistant.
Oh, yeah. After virtual the phone call.
Yeah. Afterwards, I wanted to speak to them, and they said, I am your virtual assistant.
Yeah.
And I go, no, no, no.
Yeah. That's
they didn't even have real people.
No, it's all a pretend computer, which is scary, but not at Nevada Trust, and not you. You're always there for a phone call if anybody has any questions.
That's right. And I had a gentleman this week that needed help, and I called him back immediately and told him I'm on the case.
Yeah. And I'm sure he was relieved. He was calm. He was like, okay, great. It's done. I can consider it handled.
Well, yeah, because he couldn't figure out where part of his money was. And it was right there. We'd done that little bookkeeping deal for him. And he said, oh, now I remember. We talked about doing it. I said, we did. And I said, remember, the money that you have in your policy, it doesn't change. The principal that you put in there will be there until it matures.
Yeah.
And he remembered then what he'd done. But people forget.
Sure.
You know?
You know, especially, I mean, people have, you know, they have their daily business, their daily lives that they're doing. This is what you do 24/7. And so you're dialed
That's right.
in, you're focused, you know. And so anybody that has any questions, I mean, you're the expert, and they know that they can call you and ask any questions. And there's no dumb questions either. It's...
No, not this. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about your money, it's pretty important.
Yeah, it is.
But what I like is, you know, it's not long. Usually policies, 2 years, maybe 2.5. We do a lot that are 12 months and 16 months.
Yeah.
So if you've got different opportunities, it's a great deal to have quite a few.
Yeah, it is. You know, you've always said that diversifying is key. And that goes for your policies. It goes for the type of thing. So you got some people that'll do life settlements, and then you got some other people that'll diversify and put some in annuities. And so it's just, I mean, it's really about a conservative investment either way. It's not like one thing is somewhat conservative and, well, if that doesn't work out, then I got this other thing over here. No, no, no. That's not the point. The point is for everything to, quote, work out so that people, you know, have some retirement. And annuities are one of those things that people can count on. There is, what do you call it, stable, consistent? What's the word?
It's consistent. It's stable. It's safe.
Safe. That's the word I'm looking
Safe
for.
Safe is probably the biggest word. When you do an annuity, it's a contract with a life insurance company. And you can take money out every year, or you can not take out anything. Or if you're old enough, you have to, then you have to do your RMD. But let's say you're not even ready for that. You just retired. You're 66 years old. So that money is going to accumulate and accumulate to you're 73 and a half. So that's a long time to not use that money, where you'll have a lot more when you start taking it out.
Yeah.
So I think an annuity is, for most people, it's the safest thing in America.
And we're talking about...
Pardon me, I was going to say, you want to be sure which company you've got. You have to have an A-rated company. You have to have a large company. You don't want somebody that started and they've been in business a year.
Yeah. You need a good solid foundation, a track record.
A track record. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And the company we use, been in business 100 years.
Wow.
They're worth over $60 billion. Unless a company's worth that much, don't even bother.
Yeah.
You know? You want a company that's A-rated, that's worth billions.
Yeah.
And that way you always know they can pay that claim immediately. And I love it. Now, I had some people this week, they had to change beneficiaries. Their children have already died, and they're still alive.
Oh, wow.
But they're in their 90s. They've been with us that many years, 16 years.
Wow. That's
amazing. I didn't even realize it. Yeah. And the man put money with me years ago, and this is his second wife. And she called me this week. She said, "Now, you know, I don't get any of this. It's not up to me." I said, "Well, what do you need?" She said, "My husband has to change beneficiaries. His children have died." And he's 89.
Wow.
So he's been with me a long time.
Jeez, I know what we always talk about. You know, you can change annuities, and you know, you have a falling out with somebody in the family, or you know, things don't go quite the way you want to, or whatever. But we've never really talked about that is a reason for to change beneficiaries.
Yeah, you have to do it sometimes. They've outlived the children. That's quite a deal.
Yeah, it is. My word.
You wouldn't even think about that. And then this is being the second wife. She said, "Well, you know, when he did this, I didn't have anything to do with it. I still don't." I said, "Okay." It's that second wife syndrome, you know?
Second wife syndrome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But sometimes it is the second wife. And it's different each time, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Some people are really, really nice, and some are kind of persnickety. And you don't ever know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, you really don't.
But what I love about annuities is you can do so many different things. You can take lifetime income. You can take a percentage every year. You can take nothing out of it. And the average is so good. It is averaged over 10%.
That's amazing.
And that is amazing. And I told you about that one lady that it's still worth 100 and I believe 105,000.
Oh, yeah. After being like 20, was it 20 years?
Something like that. It's a long, long time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, she said, "What do I do now?" I said, you can cash it in or you can leave it alone. And she's just going to leave it alone.
Wow.
Because with that particular company that we did it with back then, you get more money if you take that payout rather than a lump sum.
Wow. I can't believe, what did she put in, like 104,000, and after 20
104,000,
years,
yeah.
It's still 100,000.
It's still $100,000. I'm impressed.
And she's been taken out, hasn't she been taken out? Like,
yeah, it's an IRA.
Yeah.
She's been taking money out all these years.
Yeah, and she's still got all that in it.
That's right. And an annuity will never let you down. That's what I like. You're not directly in the stock market, never. So if the stock market goes down, you don't care. It's not going to affect you.
Yeah.
And it's got a stop gap on it. It's got so many good features that a stock market's not ever going to have.
I would almost.
And you're getting those payments all the time. And then this last year, as you know, we started the bonus program, and it's doing great. You're going to get 16%. I believe it'll still hold. And you get that 16% on every 100, that's 16,000, and you add that up to 1 million. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and it just keeps making more and more.
It does. So you get in whatever your portfolio is. You get the 16%. And then at the end of the year, whatever you made, you add it to the 16. So that's a winner all the way.
Yeah. I know we say it all the time, but it's just money layered on top of money.
It is. And your beneficiaries, let's say they're under 18. Okay. We have to put somebody with them that is 18. But other than that, that's the only thing you have to do. The rest of it is just, if you have a trust, you can make the trust the beneficiary. You can make your wife the husband. You know, it's simple, it's easy, and it's reliable. You always get paid on that annuity.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about losing everything because you're protecting your principal. And so
that's right. The principal's always safe, and it's the interest accumulates year after year. The bonus is a one-time deal, or if you add to it next year and the next year, you're going to get that bonus for 2 more years.
Yeah.
So you can't lose. I mean, your principal's always safe.
Yeah. And anytime you're dealing with life insurance product, it's not affected. It's never discounted. It's not affected by other things. And so I don't know. It just, between life settlements and annuities, it just seems like I can't even believe sometimes that other investment opportunities still exist because these are
it's not like, you're over there in mutual funds.
Yeah.
And mutual fund craters, the fees are high, and you can just get in so much trouble, especially if you're not sophisticated. I tell people, if you live out here in Texas and you're not sophisticated, do a conservative investment. Now, if you're real sophisticated and you can go in with eyes wide open and know that you might lose, you might win, that's okay. But unless you've got a big, big piggy bank, I think I'd leave the stock market alone.
Yeah, yeah, because the risks are so high. It's just, you can literally wake up with nothing. I feel like people are having flashbacks lately about 2008, thinking, oh boy, I kind of remember that again.
And when you do the fancy deals, like all the gold deals and all this other, be careful. Every day I read about somebody lost it all. Mm-hmm. The scams on gold is kind of prevalent.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like there's so many stories that'll pop up where people just, unexpected, whether it's unexpected fees or unexpected delays or unexpected downturns or whatever.
And the banks are not protecting them.
No.
Mm-mm. I know of 3 deals where their money is gone. And everybody said the bank should have helped firm and not wired it out of there, but they didn't.
Yeah, that's not how they work. They just do it. They're almost like robots. They just do
maybe
stuff.
It is. Maybe it's another one of those robots that did it to them. I don't know. But even the cattle market. I love cows. I love steers and bulls. But let me tell you something. The market is up and down. And right now, beef is really high.
Yeah.
And, we've had a dry spring again. So I don't know if everybody's selling it or what they're going to do. But I know that several people I know that have ranches said, it's not looking real great.
Yeah, we're not off to a good start here for to get it as we approach summer. It's just, it's almost kind of reminiscent of, what was it, last year or the year before, where it was
when
just
we had all the fires and
yes,
all that. And
yeah,
then this spring, out in the Panhandle, they had some terrific fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what hay is selling for. I know it was 190 a roll. And of course, I'm getting it from a rancher for my llamas.
Yeah.
And I've been able to get it for like $90 a bale.
Yeah, it's high though.
Let's stay in the annuities and the life settlements. Let's don't get any cattle
no,
deals.
No. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And now I'll give the website. It's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Tanya Tucker. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Okay. She's born in Seminole, Texas.
Nice.
And, you know, she, her dad did work around there. He was a heavy equipment operator. I don't think her mother worked. And when she's 8 years old, she said, "I want to be a country music star." And they kind of laughed at her. But at the age of 13, do you know what she recorded? Do you remember her first song?
Oh, I could have if you didn't put me on the spot.
Delta Dawn.
There we go. Yes. Yes, I knew it.
And she's one of the first child performers to become an adult and could still sing and never lost her audience. You know, a lot of those young kids didn't make it once they got grown.
Yeah, their voice matures and it's not the same.
It wasn't the same. But one of her hit songs was "What's Your Mother's What's Your Mama's Name?"
Mm, yeah.
And "Blood Red" and "Going Down" and "Lizzie and the Rain Man." She did so many things. And albums, and she was got a Grammy Award for Best Country Awards. "Bring My Flowers Now" from that same album. And you know, she first started out a country, then it's rock, every kind of thing that a young girl could do. And she, her albums just kept selling. Everybody thought that, you know, that they might not because she was so young. But she was very popular, and she auditioned for Jeremiah Johnson, and she won this big part. She got a little bitty part, but it got her into a lot of people. Tanya made her debut with Mel Tillis, and he was so impressed by her talent, he invited her on stage to perform right there. That was in 1969. Then the family moved to Henderson, Nevada. Eventually, she recorded a demo tape that gained the attention of songwriter Dolores Fuller, who sent it to producer Billy Sherrill. He was head of CBS Records. And Sherrill was impressed with the demo tape and signed her right there. So she was with a lot of different record companies. She was with Decca. She was with a lot of different ones. And then from 1972 to 79, of course, she was just a teenager. And then she recorded "The Happiest Girl in the World," USA. Then Delta Dawn, she put it on an album, and she became famous on that. And then she sang on The Night Show. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And then Columbia Records trying to downplay her age, but it got out that she was just 13. And so it made her really famous when they found out that this little girl was only 13. And she said, I thank the lucky stars and the good Lord for that song. But the 901 Network magazine did a story on her in 1988. And she said, "I was fortunate to have latched onto that one, and that was all Cheryl's doing. That guy made her famous." And then she said her single, "Love's the Answer," it became a top hit later in 1972. Then her third song was "What's Your Mama's Name?" And it became a number one hit in the spring of 73. And then that "Blood Red and Going Down," I don't remember that one.
I don't know that I do either.
And then in 75, she finally signed with MCA Records. And then it was just hit after hit after she signed with them.
Yeah.
And then when she'd been in business 20 years, she was still only in her 30s. And then she did "Lizzie and the Rain Man," which I don't remember that. And it was the only top 40 pop music hit. And it peaked at number 37. And then it went on the adult contemporary charts at the time. And then she recorded "You Taught Me How to Cry." And that was a duet with Hoyt Axton. In 1978, she decided to become a rock star. So then she went over to the rock side, and she hit a hit single, "I'm a Singer, You're the Song." And then she did that one, "When I Die." I remember that one a lot. then about 1980, she started recording with Glenn Campbell, if you remember.
Yes.
And she was romantically linked to him. You remember that?
I do.
I mean, that made the papers and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, I did. That was a scandal.
Yes. And then she made a comeback in 1986 with Capitol Records. And One Love at a Time made the charts. And then she wanted to be the outlaw, like Willie and all those others. That, you know, they had the outlaw band. And so she wanted to be that way. And then in 1988, she was nominated by the Country Music Association for Female Vocalist of the Year. So she was doing good. In October of 2020, she performed at Graceland.
Man.
But can you imagine, at eight, she said, I'm going to be a country music star.
And she did.
Yeah.
Within 5 years.
Yeah, and she was inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame in October of 23. So, see, she's still not very old.
She's not.
But I was shocked at what Tanya looks like right now.
Oh, yeah.
She's still a pretty blonde.
She looks great.
I mean, she doesn't look old, does she?
No. You'd think with everything that she's done in her career, you'd think she'd be like 125 by now.
I know.
She's
not. I mean, if you're 8 years old and you're already planning your future, how many kids at eight, you know, would be able to do that?
Exactly.
And that's a third grader. Do you realize that? That's a third grader. And she's ready to go off and become a big star, which she managed to do.
Yeah.
And when all these country singers heard her, you know, they wanted her to sing with them and record albums with her.
Yeah.
And at one point, her career was slipping, going down the tubes, and she brought it back.
I mean, she still has a great voice. She'll probably go down as one of probably one of the greatest female singers in country music, I would think.
She probably will, because I still remember Delta Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't forget her songs.
Yeah, I think everybody knows Delta Dawn. It's just it's one of those classics that it goes down in the history books. And you know, it's just, I don't know, to be that young and to start singing stuff like that and have the voice that she did and to maintain it as she got older.
And do you realize she didn't go take voice lessons like people have to do nowadays?
Oh yeah,
she wasn't taking voice lessons.
Mm-mm.
She was singing. And I don't know if she was playing the guitar. I don't know what year she started that.
And Tanya Tucker may be one of the most underrated country singers probably ever.
I think you're exactly right. And she was a songwriter. She wrote most of these songs herself.
Yeah.
She wasn't buying music. She already had it in her head.
Yeah. And to put those ideas down and write songs and... I know there's veterans in country music that can't do that.
Because they're always buying songs.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. She's just got so much talent. It's nice to see that she's still out, you know, touring and active and doing stuff. So it's really, really cool. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know we're coming up on time real quick, so before we wrap up, I know with life settlements, there are two risks that you like to tell people. What's the first?
The premium. If it goes over, you could have some premium to pay. The second risk is it is not available until it matures. You cannot get your money out till it matures. Once it matures, you can put it in the bank or do whatever you'd like. You must be accredited to do this. So you have to make either $200,000 or you must be worth $1 million without your home. So if you're not accredited, you can't do that investment.
Okay. I know it's business as usual this coming week, and so anybody that either has questions or thoughts or is ready to get started, whether it's annuities or life settlements, they do need to call and make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.